Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes in Goodyear, Arizona. Hoynesy, the Cactus League is wrapped up. The Guardians squeaked their way over 500 there in the final game, beating the Reds in the Cactus League finale. Now it's two exhibition games in Phoenix and then off to Oakland to open the season. What'd you see out of the Guardians in yesterday's game against the Reds?
I saw something that was really pretty cool, Joe. In the first inning against Hunter Green, Jose Ramirez fouled a ball off his shin slash calf on an awkward looking swing. He's limping around and, you know, outside the batter's box trying to, you know, get the pain to go away. The manager, Stephen Vogt, comes out. The trainer kind of gives Jose's calf like a quick massage, you know, and then Jose steps in the box, and the next pitch he hits over the wall in center field. So I think Jose's ready for the season.
You mean he? Wait a minute, he Mr. Miyagi'd him.
He went Mr. Miyagi'd him. That's exactly right.
He Mr. Miyagi'd Jose Ramirez. Now that's impressive. He stopped, clapped the hands together, rubbed up the shin, and then on the next pitch, Jose Ramirez home run. I gotta believe that that trainer is gonna, you know, it's the good luck charm. They're gonna want to carry him everywhere during the season and make sure just put some hands on a guy, and then all of a sudden the home run power happens. That's a pretty fun moment right there to see Jose do that. And five home runs for Ramirez in the Cactus League this season, this spring. He looks like he's ready.
Yeah, that's I think he only hit three last year, so he definitely looks ready. He had an infield hit the next at bat. Then they got him out of there pretty early in the game, I think, just to make sure his calf was all right. But after the game, Vogt said, he thought Jose would be okay, and everything is he's pointed toward, you know, the season opener.
Yeah, that's an encouraging sign to see. The Guardians go on to win 10-7. Daniel Schneemann with a home run in the ninth inning to break a 7-7 tie. Cleveland bangs out 15 hits in the game and, you know, plays error-free baseball. What'd you take away from Logan Allen's outing?
Yeah, I think Logan scuffled a little bit. The best thing is, you know, that was his fifth and final start. He got his pitch count up, but, 4 2/3 innings, 8 hits, 6 earned runs. He struck out 3, gave up 2 home runs. It was a windy day, but still, probably not the outing that Logan wanted to have, and they kind of kicked the ball around a little bit. They didn't make errors, but they didn't complete some plays on the infield in Cincinnati's 5-run fourth inning. That hurt him. But overall, he's had a good spring. Vogt seemed happy. So we'll have to see. You know, right now he's scheduled to be the third starter, Joe, on Saturday in Oakland against the A's.
There you go. He's lined up. Everything seems to be in order. And the most important thing is making it through those five starts healthy and ready to go. Eli Morgan, a third of an inning, got a strikeout. Emmanuel Clase, a scoreless inning in the sixth, and he struck out 2 with a walk. And then a bunch of younger guys, prospect type guys, finished out the last couple of innings. Lenny Torres pitched the ninth inning, a walk but 2 strikeouts. Kind of exciting to see. You know, we're past the phase of spring training where we're getting excited about seeing some of these young guys and prospects. But that was a nice moment for Lenny Torres to come out there and get his second save of the spring.
Yeah, Lenny Torres is throwing smoke, Joe. This guy is 96-98, a left-hander. This is, a former high round draft pick a few years ago that had Tommy John surgery, scuffled on his way back, and has looked really impressive. I mean, this guy's got he's got some serious heat. If he can control it, this is a guy for everybody out there to remember his name. He might be on the fast track here. And Joe, I've got to give a shout out to the trainer. That was Jeff Desjardins.
Desjardins, yeah.
Jeff Desjardins, new head athletic trainer for the Guardians, and he Mr. Miyagi'd Jose into his fifth home run of the spring.
Yeah, Torres, 23 years old, 6'1", 190, and he's a righty, Hoynesy, and I guess it doesn't matter if he's a righty or a lefty, he still throws hard. So
he's ambidextrous.
Yeah, there you go. Also, we saw Andrés Giménez hit a home run in that game, launched one, and it just seemed to carry out of the ballpark. Like you said, it was a windy day, but he hit a ball about 2 miles high in the sky. For his first home run his only home run of the spring, I guess. So good to see a little pop out of Andrés Giménez as well. So that's it. That's camp. That's spring training. That's the Cactus League. Now they move on to two exhibitions in a major league ballpark against the Diamondbacks. Seems like they're always playing the Diamondbacks when they're out there. The two starts there are going to go to Tyler Beattie and Tristan McKenzie on Monday and Tuesday before they have an off day Wednesday and get to Oakland. Beattie is going to be in the bullpen, it seems like, because they've made some came to some decisions here at the end of camp regarding the fifth starter.
Yeah, Joe. Well, Stephen Vogt would not tell us the order of the rotation. He would not tell us who the fifth starter was, but Carlos Carrasco came in the interview afterward and said, they've told him he's going to start. So if you put two and two together, it sounds like Carlos is going to be the fifth starter. Tyler Beattie is going into the bullpen, and I think it's pretty good fit for both guys. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Gavin Williams comes back from that elbow injury, but that's down the road a little bit. He's going to open the year on the IL, and right now it's Beattie and Carrasco, rounding out the pitching staff.
Other, big and sort of roster type moves in camp at the end of the week here. Davison De Los Santos, who did not make the club and by rule had to be offered back to the Arizona Diamondbacks, is headed back to Arizona. The Guardians just unable to work out a trade for his rights and couldn't keep him.
Yeah, and this happened over the weekend. It was kind of weird the way they talked about it. It sounded like it would be a longer process than it really was, because I think they had to put him on waivers, and any team that claimed him would have to go through the same process as the Guardians, in that they would have had to keep De Los Santos on the big league roster for the season. So no one claimed him. He went through, unclaimed, and they basically just returned him to Arizona. And it was, it's weird, Joe. They spent all winter, they draft this guy, they spent all winter kind of plotting and planning. How's he going to fit? They give him 44 at bats in a big league camp. He plays in 18 games. So it's not like they didn't take a look at this guy, but they just decided that we cannot afford to have a one spot on the roster that is non-productive if we're going to be a serious challenge in the AL Central. So they sent him back, and it's going to be interesting to watch this kid's career. 20 years old. He hit 20 home runs in AA last year. So where does he go from here? That's going to be the next step.
Yeah. And the Diamondbacks wanted him back. Their GM had said, if the opportunity comes to get him back, we want him back. So, I mean, it's no surprise they're going to continue to develop him. And I'm sure he'll spend another full season in the minors before getting another serious look, and maybe now that they know other clubs are looking at him, they'll find a spot for him on their 40 man to protect him for next year. And is sort of a similar situation with what happened with Oscar Gonzalez. Nobody took him in the Rule 5 draft, but he was exposed, and there were teams that would have been interested in him. I guess the decision on De Los Santos, did it come down to, I think they must have known pretty early on, if he only got 44 at bats, if he only played in
But
18
Joe,
games.
the 44 at bats were tied for the sixth most on the team. So I mean, they gave him a chance.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him a chance, but did they know pretty early on that he was not going to be a guy who could make, or was the decision between, hey, I think by looking at what we're doing here in camp, maybe we have a chance to contend, and that's what you had to weigh it against is, one roster spot is really valuable if they're really thinking that they have a chance to contend.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. It came down to basically three guys for two spots: Will Brennan, De Los Santos, and Estevan Florial. And
Yeah.
they went with Brennan and Florial.
And one of those two spots was created because Miles Straw was not going to make the team, and he the announcement that he has cleared waivers. No team wanted to assume more almost $20 million in remaining money on Miles Straw. And now the latest is that he has accepted the outright assignment to Columbus, where ostensibly he'll be the center fielder for I guess for the majority of the season.
Yeah, this is kind of a, where do they go from here? That's the question I want, that I'm going to find. It's going to be fascinating to see how this unfolds, because obviously this isn't a permanent move. He can't stay at AAA Columbus for the next 4 years and make $20 million, or
No.
next 2 years, I should say, whatever. Yeah, this is what, the third year of that deal. So yeah, so he can't stay there. I mean, either, you have to, he has to make some, dramatic changes in his game, convince them to bring him back up and add him to the 40 man and then the 26 man, or they have to, in my mind, work a trade for this guy. You eat the big portion of the contract and try to find somebody that will take Straw. But this can't last.
Wasn't Straw an infielder? Wasn't he a middle infielder when he came up?
I think he was a second
He
baseman,
was a
yeah.
second base. There you go. So just put him down at AAA and convert him back to a middle infielder because they don't have a million of those down in AAA. Make him a middle infielder. There you go. The next evolution in the Miles Straw saga. A couple other releases that I believe they cut two catchers. Minor league releases, Michael Berglund and Eric Rodriguez. That's Eric with a C, Rodriguez. So the minor league catching situation, who's going to be behind the plate in Columbus down there as far as depth goes, because they've got three catchers on the major league roster, so they'll be set there even if there's an injury. But who's down there in terms of depth, I have no clue how far the
Lapastida's down there.
there you go there
Yeah,
you go
Lapastida should help out.
they love that guy. He's got his person, he's developing into Austin Hedges level personality with Lavastida. They're the especially the social media team down in Columbus really loves Brian Lavastida, so could be a lot of fun if he ever gets an opportunity to make his way back up to the big leagues. We talked about Tyler Beattie getting the start today, and then he'll be in sort of long relief in the bullpen. The other start goes to Tristan McKenzie tomorrow in Phoenix, and that lines him up to pitch on Sunday in the finale of the four game series against Oakland.
Yeah, and it looks like the rot even though they haven't really made it official, it looks like the order of the rotation is going to be Beebe, by Beebe. No, I'm
Bieber,
sorry,
Bieber,
Bieber, Beatty.
Bieber, Bieber, Beattie,
Bieber,
Bibby.
Beatty.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
going to be a great season, Hoynesy.
Press, pull.
Oh my goodness.
Beebe, Bibby, God Almighty, Beaver, Bidey, Logan Allen, McKenzie, and Carrasco.
There you go. Hey, that's fun. It should be the tongue twister that we have to say five times fast in the press box on opening day in order to get in. Where does all of this leave Cade Smith right now as far as his spot on the roster? We had talked on Sunday about how, this was the only spot that's sort of up in the air right now with if they were going to acquire an external candidate for the bullpen. If not, Cade Smith will make it. Have you heard of any rumblings about a trade or anybody who got cut and the Guardians would look to sign a veteran reliever to fill that spot?
Nothing yet, Joe, but the waiver wire is filling up with names. Everyone is cutting down to get to 26 players on their big league roster. There are veteran relievers floating all over the place. If the Guardians really, if they can find someone they think that will make them, I'd say incrementally better, they would probably take a look at them and kick the tires. So this has got to be a nervous few days here for Cade Smith. He certainly has had a great camp, and I would not want to be in his shoes right now.
No, and you know what? I'm kind of hoping Cade Smith gets the spot just because I'm anxious, not anxious. I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can do. Maybe he's this season's Tim Herron. Who knows? Come out lights out in the first couple of series, but we don't want him to be the Tim Herron after that first couple of series because after the first couple of outings, Tim Herron was up and down last year. This year, he looks like he's got things a little more figured out. So Cade Smith, all the arm talent in the world and a good looking prospect there, hoping that he sticks around with the Major League Club at least for the first couple of weeks here.
Yeah, Joe, this can be such a cruel game, and I probably told you this story before. I remember a long time ago in Tucson when they're breaking camp, the Indians leaving camp in Tucson. Dave Clark had just been told, he was a former number one pick, an outfielder of theirs. He had just been told he was on the club. They put his bags on the truck. We're sitting on the bus. We're sitting on the bus waiting to go to the airport. The equipment truck door opens. They take Dave Clark's bag off the
Oh,
truck
no.
because they had just signed Steve Carlton, the Hall of Famer Steve Carlton, who was on his last legs, and Carlton made the team, and Dave Clark didn't. And you talk about a cruel, cruel sport.
You were on the bus with the
We
team
were
at
on the
that time?
bus behind the equipment truck. That's when we travel with the team.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's back when the reporters were mixed in with the travel party. So, you probably got a lot more of those reactions or got to see a lot more of that kind of stuff than what we get to see now.
You were right there with them, and that's one thing you miss about traveling with the team. But I'm telling you, making 45 minutes after a game on a getaway day is not meant to for deadline writing. So I'm glad that those days are over.
Oh no, I would much rather be on the bus with these guys just hearing what their reactions are sometimes. I can open my laptop and write anywhere. It's seeing Will Brennan reacting to fans outside of Comerica Park or something like that. Stories we've heard. So that kind of stuff would be interesting. All right, Hoynesy, I want to remind our listeners. Subtext is the best way. As we get the season started, this is a great time to sign up for Subtext. It's $3.99 a month for our subscription texting service. Hoynesy and me, I'm sorry. We text you directly to your phone, updates on the Guardians roster, updates on trades, signings, anything like that. You get the information directly sent to your phone instead of having to go through social media. It's the best way to get updates on the team. Go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346, and we'll send you a link to get started there. Still the big story in Major League Baseball right now, Hoynesy, Shohei Ohtani. Major League Baseball has said that it is launching an investigation into what's going on with this $400 million or a $4.5 million gambling exchange with his interpreter. What happens if they find out that this was Ohtani gambling, and how far of a conspiracy could this be to try and cover up the game's biggest star if he's got some sort of gambling addiction?
Yeah, this is you know, this could get real ugly real fast, Joe, and we're just speculating here. There's no, currently there's no evidence to say to show Ohtani had, you know, was involved in placing bets, and you know, it's just such a bad look, and you know, his interpreter has taken the, you know, is kind of felt, you know, is mm-hmm. it's just, you know, he's taking the blame for it. And you know, how does your interpreter access $4.5 million of your money without you knowing it? You know, that's the question that I don't understand.
Yeah, there's a lot that doesn't add up, and I guess you're right. There is no evidence right now, but you know, there's common sense, and there's, you know, on its face the way things look, and you can't necessarily jump to conclusions here, but it's a really bad look as it is right now for Ohtani. The only thing I can that even comes close in my mind right now, and it's a distant, you know, second, would be like the Tom Brady scandal, the with the Deflategate and the cover up with Deflategate and the phone messages and all that, and the league trying to suspend him and then having it get overturned by the courts and that kind of thing. What a messy, ugly saga that was in the NFL, and it just sort of gives me that same feeling that, you know, we're headed toward an entire season of this being battled out between, you know, maybe the Dodgers and Ohtani and Major League Baseball. And, you know, for as much coverage as Ohtani already received for being the $700 million man, this is just going to make it even worse and ratchet things up a lot more. I think we're in for an entire full season of this Ohtani, you know, scandal sort of watch. And if that's the case, and if he does come through on the other side and still keep his job and still get to play, you know, like Brady did, Brady came back in that following season and was like a man on a mission. He played so angry. He was, you know, just dominant. I wonder what a ticked off Shohei Ohtani would be able to do if he comes back and he's able to pitch in a season following a year of scandal watch about this gambling thing.
Yeah, Joe, you know, the people I feel are really under the spotlight are MLB's, you know, investigative unit and the commissioner, Rob Manfred. Mm-hmm. Manfred, you know, spearheaded baseball's, you know, opening their arms to gambling, to this gambling, to online gambling, to everything that is going on right now. And if this investigation doesn't uncover, you know, turn over every rock and look in every dark corner and really, you know, get down to the grassroots of it, you know, what does it say about the sport and what does it say about the commissioner? I mean, the commissioner, you know, he's on the hot seat here. I mean, if he strictly has to be hands off here, and it's just such a bad look with opening day coming up, and there's a lot, you know, Ohtani isn't the only guy being scrutinized here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of people who are you know, going to have their reputations under the microscope as we move forward through this. All right, Hoynsie, a couple of games in Phoenix, and then it's off to Oakland. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and recap tonight's first exhibition game. We'll talk to you then on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
Good deal, Joe.